And my box is 331, so we'll start the meeting. Okay, we're going to call the meeting of the Park and Recreation Standing Committee to order. We have roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present, with the exception of Vice Chair Steele.
Okay, with that, we're going to move on to public comments. Public comments is a time for the public to discuss with us anything that is not on our agenda. There is a dog park item on the agenda, so if that's what you want to speak about. Other than that, is there anything else you'd like to speak to us about? Okay, with that, we'll close public comments and go to the approval of the minutes of the June 20th meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved. With that, we'll go to discussion items, and I'm going to move the dog park to the front. So we're going to go to D3, which is discussion regarding the updated dog park improvement.
I think it's item 5.
Item 5.
D5?
D5.
D5. I don't have
any 5. Oh, you're looking at the minutes.
I'm looking at the minutes. Okay. There we go. That's very good, General Manager, to
keep your back.
Okay, we're going to D5, update on dog park.
Okay, currently we're working on the large dog park on the east side, the upper slope. We did the first round of weed killing, and during that process, we noticed that we have a couple problems with the slope. One is dogs like to get underneath the fencing and get out into the pond, and the other, people don't tend to clean up after their dogs on a slope. So what I'd like to do is fence off the slope area, so there's just the upper lawn area that the dog park includes, and keep people and pets out of the slope. It'll save two problems, one cleanup and the other dogs getting underneath the fence.
All right, so this will be, so you come inside the fence approximately how far?
To the top of the slope, it's about 10 feet of slope.
Okay. Short enough about
that. Yeah, and we're going to, right now we're currently in the weed process. I've got another round of weed killing to do. On the small dog park, we did our first round of weed killing, and two more weeks I'm going to do a second round. Then we're going to actually start seeding the small dog park and get that ready to go. The upper area on the east side, we're going to hold off because I want to make sure that we've grown all the weeds up that we can to get rid of them before we start seeding. And then right now we're taking proposals for the asphalt removal. We actually have a contractor who's willing to donate the process of removing the existing asphalt and base rock underneath it. And then behind that we would bring in, there's a couple different ideas for floating. One is bringing in topsoil, filling the hole, putting in new sprinklers and sod for that area. The other idea is there's a engineered bark product that a lot of dog parks are using now, and what we would probably do is give it a concrete border with possibly a walkway area on the west side and an area for us to get our mowing equipment in to the small dog park, and then the bark would be put inside of that area, and then we would repair all the lawn in the existing dog park in the lower area.
Is that a hardscape once it's up there?
No, it would be, well, the concrete is a hardscape, but the area is actually an engineered bark that doesn't splinter. A lot of dog parks are using it now. The problem with grass is it gets torn up and holes get dug, and during the wintertime it gets muddy. So they've had some great success with this product. Mac actually went to the...
Why don't we finish the discussion here, and we can open it up to public comment. So that's two ways to handle that one here.
Yeah, one is to do sod and sprinklers, and the other is to do some hardscaping and...
Right, so you bring back the proposal.
Yeah. There's roughly for the bark and the concrete, rough pricing is about $10,000. Sod and sprinklers is going to run about $15,000.
Well, we'll have to discuss a future meeting once you have it.
Yeah. Yep.
Do we have is that an item that staff would want to try and resolve prior to reopening?
Actually, we could...
And or reopen, and then as well, phase two or something down the road.
Obviously, if you're going to do the demolition of the basketball courts, you're going to have to close the park because we have to tear down some of the fencing to get trucks in there.
That's what we're right.
And another thing we haven't considered price-wise is how much damage is going to be done moving that asphalt out.
Maybe the company that's volunteering their services might be able to give us a feel for what might take place. You could get a little closer on that. They would know what their trucks might do with that area.
It depends on the time of year that we're doing it. If it's midsummer, probably very little damage to the turf areas, but there is possibility of concrete breaking. If you notice, when they did the tennis courts out here, there was a lot of concrete that had to be replaced because of the heavy weight of the trucks moving in and out.
Right.
And they need a bobcat one individually, you know, one load at a time, one bucket.
I don't think he's...
The other thought process could be just to go across the grass and go out the other way now.
Yeah, we have a lot of irrigation out in that area. A lot of boxes out there that they have to avoid. And there's other things to avoid out there, too. It would be easier, I think, for them to come in and out on the concrete.
Okay. If we say we postpone that for a little bit till a future time, taking out the asphalt and all that, doing just what we've discussed up to date, how long do you think before we'd open the dog park?
The majority of the large dog park is going to remain open. The rest of it won't open until the springtime.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. At this time, I'd like to open it up to public comment. So if you could address your comment to me, and I'll direct it to staff. Feel free. Yes.
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, I had two things. First of all, we've been fielding an idea of trying to put together a GoFundMe account as in the community. And you can figure out a way that the town can accept anything that we raise and it can be applied towards it. And if it's a viable situation that we can do, so we can contribute towards it. I don't know if it'll work because of county involvement and all of these things. If you guys could figure that out, I'm pretty good at steering things.
Okay. We'll pass that along to staff to investigate whether we can accept that.
We get donations from Lions Club and from other organizations that are designated for certain things in the park to be done. And so if you do a GoFundMe page and somebody else administers that and then just cuts the check and presents it to the board.
The reason that I ask it, how they do my, is the fact that you're dealing with so many separate individuals. Mm-hmm. It's not an organizational thing. It's a bunch of individuals donating to a pot.
Right.
And you're going to, I need to have, can, you know, is it feasible 100% in advance? And we'll drive it if we can get that as a result. It's not like we have an organization saying, yeah, we're gonna have this fundraiser and you will be the benefactor. But I've talked to probably 50 people thus far that say, yeah, we will donate.
Yeah, we.
But we want to guarantee or we want to.
Based on what the general manager just mentioned, as an example, the Lions Club will go out and do a fundraiser.
Yes.
We have nothing to do with it. They will come to one of our meetings, pre-range, and present a check to the town specifically for that project. So, yes, if you raise money and come to the back at the appropriate time and make a presentation that these funds will be specifically directed to the dog park, yes.
But does it need to be aimed at a specific feature for the dog park?
It can be... I'll be happy to answer that. It could be either. You can make a general donation for dog designated for dog park improvements, and then that would be left at the discretion of the recreation manager and the committee and the board. Or you can make it designated for specific things. However, that specific thing would need to be pre-approved by us beforehand. In other words, if you wanted you know, something bizarre and wouldn't work out there because of danger or a variety of things.
Absolutely.
So anything that's designated, for example, we had funds designated specifically to a bench and specifically to the barbecue, et cetera, from the Lions Club. And yes, we can do things like that, but we pre-approved and said those would be acceptable items that can be placed in the park before.
Okay, so I have a pretty good idea. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love donations.
Yeah.
I thought you might, but I just wanted to get a little clearer idea there.
Yeah. I mean, bring the money and we'll find a spot in the dog park to spend.
Okay,
yeah.
And the second part of my question, then I'll be quiet, is in Brentwood and a lot of the newer parks there, to fight off illness in dogs now, they're for all of the drinking fountains, the means of watering the dogs and stuff, they're having a pedal-type fountain to where you bring your dog up and you push your foot on it, and it brings water into a bowl, and then through drinking, it drains. Because there's so much dog colds and dog flu and everything, especially in the winter months, it's hanging on now, and it's getting to be a thing where it's just not going away. And you can, you know, immunize, I do speak English. There, you get all the shots you want, and it's just not working. And if you take the chance and you just drive by some of the newer parks and things that are there, there's more than a 30-gallon bucket now. Even though our dogs all love diving into that damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like to dig it.
I think I want to stop.
He's looking at me because I'm going
Yes, we have one up at Cornell that it's a button, a big button about this big.
Yeah.
You just go like this, and it's a drinking fountain at the top and a dog fountain at the bottom. That's all you do is push on it, and then it comes through.
So what you're talking about is a project that maybe would modify the drinking fountains that are out there for the dogs right now.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
It's just
both sides.
Yeah.
Because it gets muddy up there too. I mean, it's not just the disease, but it does get pretty wet.
It's also a deterrent to mosquitoes.
Okay. Got it.
We'll pass that along to staff and let them do a little review and kind of figure out the complexities of what it might take and approximate cost, etc. Is there a?
We're probably the vector guy, actually. Is who told me about why they did it was mosquitoes.
Okay. Is there are you going to be the designated spokesperson for the group? The only reason I'm saying that is so that staff can communicate.
That's up to the group.
I'm fine with that.
It does make it easier if we have just one person.
Yeah, that way staff can get a hold and you can spread the word. So as if you could give your contact information on that, and he can give you a card. Yes.
Are we done with the water thing?
I think the most important thing is, besides everything else, is the flu. The flu is the deadliest thing for the dogs, more than mosquitoes and everything else. They're bad, but the flu is the worst.
But the pond around the edge of the large dog park is a source of mosquitoes, too.
I have a great suggestion on that.
Oh, good.
Rec 800.
Do what?
Rec 800, Reclamation District 800, which meets over here at the shopping center.
Uh-huh.
If you guys were to show up at that meeting and express your concerns, because that's theirs, they might be able to do something about that.
Like plug it up?
I can't speak for them at all.
Is it an actual...
I would love to see a conduit there and cover it over, but I can't do anything about it, so...
It's a stagnant pond.
It's just a
pond. It comes from the lake and it goes to the...
There's really no purpose for it down there.
Not anymore.
It's been there for like 35 years that I've been here.
The purpose...
It's not going to go away.
It won't go away. The purpose is there to transfer water from the lake to the golf course. It's part of their complete system.
Oh, it is?
But
okay.
Whether it can be enclosed or not in a conduit, in a pipe all the way through, which eliminates the problem, that could be a project. That could be a project they could take a look at. So with your assistance and pressure over there, we'll let them figure that out.
You guys can get rid of us? I have a question.
Yes.
When you said you're going to move the fence that's along the at the big dog park, behind the picnic tables, the dogs are getting under it and getting into the water. You're going to put another fence up on that hill. Is it going to be where the temporary fence is now?
No.
Or is it going to be behind the picnic tables?
It'll just be top of slope.
It'll be top of the slope.
So that's on the other side of the picnic tables.
Yeah, we actually want to grow grass in that area because that's never been done. It's been mainly just weeds. And
yeah, because it's so steep.
But no, even the flat area, it was never really prepared properly. So but we're going to tease that into grass in that area.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah.
Are you going to change your grade at all through there or just through the natural?
Probably not. With the big trees there, we'd end up tearing up a lot of roots and we'd end up making probably a larger project than we can.
We'd like to move the receptacle for the dog poop off that hill because it gets real slippery when there's pine needles on it or if the ground's wet.
Okay.
And was it you or Joe told me some lady fell before you put the fence up there by the blacktop? She fell trying to walk to that receptacle up there.
Okay.
So if we could move it.
You mean the receptacle by the asphalt there?
Yeah.
But it's not on the hill, it's right next to the asphalt.
Behind that portal, that temporary fence.
If you could just put it down by the asphalt temporarily for the moment, it'd be wonderful too, because all the dogs are pooping on the asphalt. And by the time someone pays attention to it from down below, they don't even bother to pick it up, they usually roll the crap there.
Yeah, we're constantly picking up after other people's dogs.
And maybe that's a...
So is our crew.
That sounds like a personal problem.
A county issue. Well, it's a county issue, actually. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere we go out here, it's a big problem for us. We need it.
I do appreciate all the bags.
Maybe we could investigate two receptacles.
There are two there. One is up behind the fence when they put the temporary fence up there. They put the fence in front of it.
We've heard some suggestions, so we'll let you make a management decision.
One's right as you come in the gate, so it's pretty handy.
By the end of the week, it is overflowing because there's only one. So by Sunday, this last Sunday, it was over the top.
On the ground,
because you couldn't put any more in it. So if we had the use of both,
we
put another trash can out there?
Yes.
So we'll put another temporary trash can out there. That'll probably be easy.
Michael, when they put the fence up there, the temporary thing, did they move the unit?
No, they just put the fence in front of the receptacle.
Okay. About right where the edge of the block. Right along the edge of the block.
Okay.
So you can't get to the picnic tables.
Okay.
All right. I think we got you on that one. Okay. Is there anything, another issue?
I just want to make an observation. I was talking to a couple in the big park the other day, and they had just moved here from Pleasanton, and they were used to taking their dogs to a dog park there, and he described the product that they're putting down instead of grass. You know, it's a composite of something. And so I said, well, don't the dogs rough it up and then it goes, or dig it and then it goes someplace and then it's just dirt that's sitting there that might get muddy and stuff? He said, no, actually, they put down a black, a black tarpy, whatever, plastic, and then that goes on it. And I said, so how thick then is that composite material or whatever it is, pebbles of... No, it's not redwood. But anyway, he said it's about this thick, and no, it's, he says,
not a bark.
The dogs, I don't think it's a bark. I think it was maybe like a plastic,
LA line?
I think it's called rubber.
Yes, it's more like a rubber thing, but I said, is it problematic? He goes, no, the dogs love it. It works.
Except that you have Labradors and Golden Retrievers who eat that kind of stuff.
I think if they're putting it in a lot of dog parks, you'd have to find that out, give us a little more information about that. But I think that would probably might be better than grass, because in the winter, the grass just everything turns to mud.
That sounds exactly what staff has just brought forward.
Right. I just wanted to tell you that, because I knew nothing about the product.
These are some photos of the stuff we were talking about.
We're going to let staff make those.
I don't know. I'm sure they've done, you know, if this is what they're choosing, it's probably the most workable thing. Yeah.
Is there any other items you'd like to bring forward? Yes.
So the $4,000 was donated by the Lions, but what is that being used for?
We'll bring it up.
So half of it's going to be used towards the maintenance stuff. So half of the $4,000 is going to Brian to do this work. And then I've got some agility rings in my office that we decided not to install yet until he's finished moving stuff around. Because the second I put it in the ground, he'll want to dig there. So there's a set of rings for the large dog park. There's a set of rings for the small dog park. And then the signboard that's out there so I can start posting stuff and letting you guys know what's going on. So the $2,000 has gone for the rings and for that. The other $2,000 will go for whatever it is that we decide to do with this stuff. And then we'll do another pause on parade again in the spring, and then that money will go towards whatever the next project is or to add to what we're doing today or we're talking about today.
So you're talking, you said $2,000 go to whatever he's doing. Is that, are you talking about the basketball court?
It could be that and some of this. It could be whatever. Today we're just trying to figure out if we remove or do you have a preference towards grass or do you have a preference towards this? This is actually probably cheaper. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to water, you don't have to sod, so he doesn't have to spend money on putting irrigation in because there's no irrigation in the cement right now. Then we'll be saving water too because we're not watering something that's not being watered right now. So the engineered bark could be, that's when we start putting agility stuff. And then when it rains, you don't have to worry about the grass being wet or muddy. We could fence it off. You could be just in that part. Because that's a 50 by 80 square.
Both the surface the same in both parks?
The small dog park doesn't have grass. Just has grass. It's really small in there. So we're just talking about getting rid of the asphalt right now.
What? How about the urine and everything?
I've talked to two companies that currently have it, and they swear by it. They say it's great. There's no issues with chemicals in it. There's no issues. Occasionally, poop will stick to a few pieces, but they said it's really clean, so it works really well.
It doesn't absorb the odor.
Nope. They said it works really well. One of them is in the Seattle area, so they have a lot of water too, and they said it keeps the dogs clean. It's very. They did their research, and they swear it's a great product. And
you don't know what the composition is on.
He just said it was safe.
Yeah, there's a. If it's not in there. Oh, here it is. So here's the product info. It's a specially ground non toxic wood, reduces puddles, craters, dust, dirt. Because it has long fibers, they'll interlock over a period of time. It's ADA accessible, it's non-toxic, free of chemicals, pesticides, no fat landscape fabric needed, free of bark, twigs, leaves, all natural product, made very slightly in color, that's about it. So, but like I said, both these folks that I talked to, one is a private business, and they've been there for a long time in the Seattle area, they swear by it, they did a lot of research on it. And the other is Sonoma County Animal Shelter, and they just installed it, and they love it right now, so.
Okay, so any other...
So I wasn't clear on your deciding what to do with the basketball court, but between the decision, what else is going on? Are you fixing the mud, the problem by the tree, where the...
No, that involves grading, so we'll be doing some grading out there. We need the water to go down to the drains, and right now it doesn't drain, so we're going to have to close that whole area off to do that.
So the end result is yes, it will be addressed.
Okay, so you're doing the small dog park that's going to open in the spring.
Yes, and the upper area for the large dog park.
And the upper area, and then are these all like you're doing steps, or you're going to close it at once and do all of it?
They're both closed right now until spring.
But when is the other part by the tree with all the mud, when is that going to like what step is that? What does that fall?
That's still in the planning stage. Because that also needs funding.
So funding.
That won't be a part of the March opening.
No.
You're saying we're gonna miss that until it'll be another project after March?
It depends on how quickly you guys make a decision on what you want to do.
I mean, is that a $1,000 project?
The livestock park?
No, to do the grading and the drainage by the tree.
No, it'd be more than $1,000 to do that.
And that's the problem, the drainage is bad?
Yeah, the water sits under the tree.
Right.
I need
that leaning pine tree?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I need
with
that.
The benches?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need that water too. We'll probably move, relocate the bench too.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention is that the perfectly installed benches, the one that's at the edge of the blacktop and the one under the tree, mm-hmm. those are obstacles that when the dogs are running, they can run into and get hurt. You get three or four big dogs running at the same time, close together. If they're not paying attention where they're going, it's a slam dunk. When the temporary fence was put in, I took my dog, and he didn't know it was there because it wasn't there the day before. And he's running head for leather along the fence that divides the two parts. He hit that blacktop, and all of a sudden, he was a couple of feet from that temporary fence. He slid on his rear and then pivoted to the right on the blacktop and skipped the whole back of his hock from the top of the hock down to the foot on the blacktop.
So what's the concern, the bench or what?
Well, I've seen other dogs run into the benches. My dog doesn't. Some of the labs and the goldens, they're where they get, you know, they're right over the path.
We need the benches. I need a bench. I need someplace in the shade to sit. So
if they were portable, we could pick them up like the one that's along the sidewalk.
Truthfully, I need that bench to get in the shade by myself with somebody else.
Well, we're going to
run the meeting. So, what we're going to suggest, because you've got a lot of good ideas and a lot of good concerns, is that we're going to set up a workshop. In other words, time that we can devote a little more time, a little more discussion, even have some more folks attend with staff to discuss these items before it's recommended to come to the full board. We don't make the final decision here. That's go to the full board. So we want to be fully involved and knowledgeable about the concerns of things that we may not have thought about. And that way, we can make a presentation to the full board, and the decision will probably be much better. So I'm going to leave it to staff to get in contact with your group to set up a time and a place and kind of make this go forward.
So should we present before or after elections?
Doesn't make any sense. I doubt whether this will be solved before the election. And I'm not running at this time. Talk to me in a couple of years. Hopefully the dog park is lovely.
Just thought I'd
ask. No problem.
I just had one quick question about the entrance. Is that going to be, how did you plan on solving the mud at the entrance?
Concrete.
They
can't drop this right
now. The reason we haven't done it already is we may need to remove all that fencing to get the asphalt.
But it is
down.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And there's actually funding for that. We have a contract that lined up, but our sticking point right now is how we're going to remove the asphalt.
Okay. Staff is going to get with yourself, and you can let it know. And we'll also make either on our website or something. We can get one of the newspapers that will have a workshop time and date, and the community can come quickly. And that recommendation will come back to this committee. We'll discuss it, and we can forward that on to the full board for final decision. And it's very important that we hear that, because we've got limited funds, and we don't want to overlook something that could have been, see, that is more of a priority than this. So we welcome your input, and we'll let staff be in touch with you. And with that, we're going to close public comment. Is there any other discussions on the dog park?
We have direction.
Okay, that's correct.
So thank you for allowing us your time.
No problem.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for coming out.
And thank you for having the governor.
Give me a call and we'll connect, and you'll be my main point of contact.
I will.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
You remember me?
You, I've been trying to picture it.
Wallane says it.
Oh, you've been in my house.
You had it for a minute.
Well,
you
I'm trying to picture. Jail. Yeah, I knew you from somewhere. So.
Okay,
it goes back a long time.
We're going to move on to D1, discussion of the Rec Services Annual Report. Steph.
Okay, so you have before you. I gave you a nice, clean copy of the draft. We do have for tonight, I have a little slideshow presentation with it. Unfortunately, we can't do that here, but you'll see it tonight just real quick. So essentially, you have the second Recreation Services Department annual report. So the inaugural one we did last year. Again, I think it's key that we do this so that you can see what the accomplishments have been for the recreation side over the past year. Most of it's pretty easy reading. Tonight I'm just going to kind of cover a few of the graphs that we have in there, which I kind of added. If you look, for instance, on page 8, recreation interest, special interest classes. The nice thing is now that we've done this, we can see from fiscal year 15-16, 16-17, 17-18, you can basically now start tracking what the attendance has been in the particular programs that we do. You can see we're down slightly, but, you know, hopefully it's going to continue to go up. On page 9, the recreation swim, again, we've been able to start tracking. So, for instance, fiscal year 15-16, we had 872 people utilize the swimming pool for recreational swim. In 16-17, the number dropped. And then 17-18, you're looking at well over double. Probably green algae helps with that, but definitely higher numbers than we've seen before. Page 10, we talk about...
Let's not mention green algae tonight.
We won't mention green algae tonight, but... Numbers did go up for the utilizing the pool, so that's actually pretty nice. Park and recreation facility rentals, again, you can see how we started tracking it. The numbers have progressively been going up. 17-18 might have even been higher, but the barbecue area was pretty much out of service most of the year. So hopefully that number will go up in this year now that we have it up and working again. Then the one that's the most interesting that I'll talk again about tonight is on page 11. What I started doing about 18 months, well, a little more than 18 months now, but about 18 months ago, I had staff who worked the front counter, so they come in Monday through Fridays from 4 o'clock till close, and they're here Saturdays and Sundays to take hourly walks around the facility and start counting folks and reporting the data. So... because we started halfway through the year before, I basically just used this last year's 17-18 numbers. And it is kind of fascinating because when you're here, you don't always know how many people are utilizing the facility. So again, it's still very conservative, but essentially if you look at it, the blue one, the tennis courts for fiscal year 17-18, we counted over 3,500 users during the course of the fiscal year. The event lawn area, over 6,600 folks who utilize the facility. The dog park, actually some pretty decent numbers, a little over 1,500 people utilizing it. Again, it's just very conservative counting, hour by hour, after hours, and weekends. And then the community center itself, a little over 9,600 folks. So if you add that all up, there's quite a few folks that utilize this facility, and it's activities. So it's kind of nice. It'll be kind of nice now that we're doing that to see what 18-19 looks like. So essentially that's the report. That's kind of what I'm going to summarize tonight. I'll have a little PowerPoint, quick slideshow to go through and kind of highlight what we just talked about. So is there any questions?
I do have a couple. Okay. First of all, I want to say very kudos to staff for putting this together. Very professional.
I have to really recognize and
Mac and Monica for to do it.
Yeah. Now, the question I have, and I think we discussed it before, but I can't recall, it's the bridge players.
The bridge players, yes.
I'm looking at the
ones on Saturday.
Wave, yeah, page 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that to offset a little of that, there was going to be some sort of a dollar a game or 50 cents a game, some kind of something in the back of my mind sticks about playing bridge.
Yes, they are contributing. That's probably a good point. I should go back through there and double check that number for you.
Yeah, because if we look at it, I mean,
I think the number was higher before, but I can double check and get an answer for you tonight.
Yeah, because that's, you know, $14,000 worth of revenue. I don't expect the bridge players to be paying $14,000 and just move on somewhere and be mad at us. But there's
a
nominal fee of some sort.
It was a buck a player.
Whatever it was, I don't know. If we could bring that out to help offset some of the other board members that might question that.
Okay. Good catch, yeah.
Okay,
no, I think it looks great. I just give us some. I like that we've got 2 years of data now.
Yeah, we did.
Compare
and start
comparing. Training, so, yeah. Anyway, it's very complete. I look forward to this every year. So, thank you.
So, what we'll bring forward is a recommendation to the committee that the board approve the annual report with the.
I'll check their number.
And to rectify, if necessary, that particular number regarding the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we'll go to item D2, the annual recreation fee increase.
Okay. So let's see. All right. So since the official opening of the Discovery Bay Community Center in January of 2014, the initial rental fees have not changed, other than the removal of a nonprofit category a couple of years ago. Cost of managing and maintaining town facilities has increased, especially in the last 2 years. Just the cost of maintenance. And that's not part of the report, Mike, if that's what you're looking
yeah.
for. Yeah, this is just a discussion item. It's not uncommon, just so the committee is aware, that park and recreation departments do utilize the consumer price index to annually increase the cost of doing business. So in other words, using the facilities, we haven't changed any of the fees in 4 years. And that probably needs to be something that staff needs to look at. So what I wanted to do is just bring that to your attention. Staff is proposing the creation of a recreation fee policy that would address annual and regular user fee increases, kind of based on the consumer price index. And we're looking for direction to proceed with a proposed draft, if that's something you're interested in.
I
knew you would be. But it is important. I mean, the cost of
your
business
and
managing, we're not getting.
We have automatic increases in minimum wage,
yeah,
and that's affecting us. So it might be a little more than just the cost of living increase over.
Yeah.
Well, I think in order to kind of catch up a little bit,
right.
This first go around may have to be recommended a little higher than average, but then if we can set this up as an annual.
So it just kicks
and
in.
And we can, you know, similar to our water wastewater reports, we set it up as a 5-year program. So I don't know if we need 5 years, but anyway, a recommendation for a resolution to annually review it and or increase it.
Correct.
We have to also have legal look at it.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's what staff's proposing, so I wanted to throw it out, get some direction from the committee. You like it, you don't like it, we'll put together a draft of what we're proposing to do, but it'll take some time to work on it. We didn't want to go down that path if that's not something
right.
we wanted to do.
So I think it's long needed.
Might include with that some comparisons.
Yeah, how often, say, Brentwood does theirs or Tracy,
and
what their rates are, similar things.
Right, and what we also will compare to is. For instance, the barbecue, it wasn't very nice until now, so to charge a market rate for something that just wasn't pleasant or safe to use didn't make any sense. But now that we've fixed it, and it's going to work very well, and I'm sure it'll be very popular, we want to get that up.
Well, we have to recoup some of our investment.
So some comparisons and...
I think that's a great idea.
Back on the bridge, I don't know why we're not getting a dollar per door. Every seat in there, it's, we position, we set that up, we take it down.
Right.
I don't know why we're not getting a dollar at the door for every seat that sits.
Well, right now we're taking a dollar per person per Saturday. So if there's $25 on, well, that's the only time they come in.
Oh,
so.
I thought we had Wednesdays here.
Well, there's a Wednesday group that pops in here, but they're really unorganized. There's probably like eight of them running around here.
They have no rights to the rooms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So if somebody else comes in, we'll bump them. But the Saturday group, yeah, that's kind of a waived rental, if you will. So we're at least recouping a buck a person per Saturday. So if they have 25 people each Saturday, that's $100 a month, which is $100 more than we had before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at some point that may be included with this, okay, you know, next year it's going to be a buck and a half.
Yeah,
or $2.
There's a threshold of pain someplace. We don't know where it is.
We don't know where it is.
I think a dollar is
right.
Pretty reasonable.
Right, and we have staff here already on Saturday because the facility needs to be open. So
right.
At least we're making $100 where we weren't even making $100 before. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we're going to move on to D3 regarding community event venue structure.
Okay. So, again, since the official opening, the use of the community center for large community events has increased, especially over the last 2 years. Community events, just by their nature, are very different kinds of rentals. The numbers are generally way over 100. The hours of use are anywhere from 8 to 12 hours. Sometimes they may even set up the night before. They may come in the day after to clean up. They also involve a lot more staff time to process all the required paperwork. Oftentimes the groups want to bring in staging, all kinds of different stuff. So what staff is proposing is to create kind of a special event category. Right now we have two categories that are utilized. It's just a facility rental and a park rental. These are designed generally for you want to come in, you want to have a family picnic, it's simple, you fill it out. But when you do a community event, we need to know what equipment's coming in, trash cans, porta potties, staging, lighting, trucking, what time you need to come in. They may need a half day to set up, they may need a half day to clean up. You've got issues related to security, all kinds
parking.
Of stuff. So parking, which is coming up another component. There's just a lot of details. These don't really ask for it. So what we like to do is create kind of a third, hey, here's a community event. The community events always have to go to the board for approval anyway. So let's create a package that goes with that. Maybe we adjust some pricing. Maybe we look at, hey, if we've got to provide four people because your event's real large, that cost might be in here, and those other kinds of components and stuff too. So it's not just you're coming in and you're getting kind of this for 50 people or less rate when all of the issues and challenges and the wear and tear in the building is significantly more. So what staff is proposing is the creation of a special event category that will address all these various kinds of issues. So if it's a food truck roundup, if it's a car show or whatever, there's a third category, that's the stuff they fill out. That doesn't negate if the board does their annual, we're waiving the fees for all these kinds of things. We just need to have a packet of information that's more complete than just you coming in and renting the barbecue area.
You need more information on that?
We got to know a lot of stuff.
Really?
So, yeah.
You can't just have a name and a phone number and a dollar?
No.
For renting the barbecue space, yes, but if you're going to bring in 500 people.
Oh, yeah, all right. If I'm having 30 people,
if you're having 30 people, you're just filling this out.
Okay,
it's
yeah,
a couple of, well, we're gonna raise the rates to use the barbecue area because it's nice now, but the idea is you just come in, you fill it out, and then you put
it in the space.
The big public events, we need insurance,
oh, sure.
We need alcohol permits,
yeah.
We need to know what size stage you're bringing in, where you're putting in, how many sprinkler heads are you going to hit so Brian knows, you know, it's going to cost you this much money. Oil drips from a food truck on the cement, well, the deposit right now is like $50. Well, if I've got to clean the cement, maybe the deposit needs to be more like $500 or $1,000. You get it back if we don't have to clean and fix stuff.
Right.
Because that kills you after a while, especially since there's a lot more going on here now.
I think it's a great idea.
I agree. Yeah, it's fine. I was just concerned about insurances for families' cow parties.
Yeah.
No.
Normal party stuff is easy.
Okay.
So okay. You're okay with us moving forward?
Carry on.
Got it.
Okay, now we're going to move on to striping.
Striping. All right. So again, I'll have a kind of a slideshow for you for tonight. But again, as I was indicating to you, the use of the facility by community organizations for large gatherings now, food truck, car shows, summer jam, all those things. We're already in the process of, we had the repaving done last spring. We need to put the lines back because obviously those were covered up. Staff is looking at then adding, because of the challenges with people parking all over the place, besides the company coming in and doing all of our striping and get it all back to where it should be, is to also add red so that when we're working weekends, staff doesn't have to worry about, well, you can't park there. And then people are looking at it and going, well, what do you mean I can't park there? At least we can go, that's a red zone. I'm sorry you can't park there. Hopefully most people are going to get it and not do it to begin with, and that would help. I've given you a diagram, if you have your packet, which kind of shows where we wanted to add the red striping.
Right.
Just for your reference, Mike and I had talked about this. We do have an ordinance 26, which says if you are parking something in any of our parking lots, whether it's here at the community center or Cornell or Slifer, and you post it for sale, we can actually have you towed. We can call a company and say, get it out of here. Since the ordinance already exists, staff is kind of thinking about the possibility then, if we have red zones, that maybe something can be added within a policy that already exists, if the board so desires, that might also say that
that's a discussion.
All right, so we won't do that one. So red zone is what we're looking at.
We won't discuss it, but I think the concept is very good.
I don't agree with the red zone, actually.
Well, the drop-off. It's a bigger discussion because the only alternative we have is to tow the car away.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, getting a ticket or something, we can't do that. So there's more to it than meets the
eye. More to it than that. Right. But the concept was to, at least for these big events, we have red zones. We could say, Brian, you can't park there. It's a red zone.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first step to solving the issue.
Mm-hmm. So any questions? You've got kind of a little map in there. Again, I'll have a slide tonight to kind of cover it.
I think the drop-off area on the roundabout around the tree there where Kevin likes to park before the meetings,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a good drop-off zone. I can imagine being red. I would imagine it would be a white zone, and it would have a drop-off.
Okay.
Or something.
Well, does a white zone mean that you can't park there?
It's like when you're at the airport, right? They tell you you can't
stop.
Right.
Yeah.
There's something we need to
For loading and unloading?
Yes, loading and unloading, you know.
Why isn't that a yellow?
I don't know.
No, it's unpainted.
It's what?
Unpainted.
It's
No. Right now, I understand. But, yeah. I mean, the color codes.
Oh, we can look at that.
Yellow. The white means you can stay a while. I think yellow.
I think one is cargo. One is, I think, passengers.
Okay.
I can't remember.
No. We'll let staff figure that out.
Okay.
The concept is good.
But you like the concept?
Yeah.
I think it'll help in the long run. Yeah, you still probably will have issues with people being real bullheaded, but I think it'll make it easier for us to go up and say, I'm sorry, sir, you really can't park there. You'll need to go across the street. Obviously, we can't paint the grass red to keep them off of that, but one step at a time.
Yeah.
All right, so you're okay with moving forward to tonight's board meeting on that?
I am. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Super, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Okay, now we'll move on to swimming pool renovations.
Swimming pool renovations. As you can see, we're moving along. All the demo work is done. They did all the rough plumbing, and we've got a plumbing inspection signed off by the building department, and we're just waiting for the health department to come in and sign us off. And they're about a week and a half out.
They're looking at the chemical part of it. That was the health department.
The health department is for public safety. They're looking at the circulation system to make sure it's adequate for the pool. But they've already reviewed the plans like the building department has. It's just a formality. They need to see it actually installed.
And so as far as being on the projected schedule, are we on schedule pretty much?
Completion line? I think we're going to probably be circulating water before Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
so we had a crack in the pool.
Yes, the bottom of the shallow end is hollow. Part of it, the gunite's too thin. So we're going to remove that area, re-steel it, and...
Wow, like a
bigger? 200,000, we can make a six-lap pool out of it.
I mean, if we're going to do all that work, why wouldn't we expand that area?
200,000.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we do. Maybe we've got community center money still. Maybe the board should talk about that.
Is it too late at this point?
Is it?
No, that decision should be made fairly soon. That will delay us, so.
Yeah.
And that might.
I mean,
that might.
Well, how?
I don't know. This is the first time we talked about it, so.
Right, yeah.
They don't have to make the pool as deep
okay.
to add those lanes. That's a bonus of it because it's just for additional swimming. It only needs to be 3 to 4
feet. So the whole shallow end is this issue?
Yeah, he said the deep end is just wasted space.
Yeah. No, I understand that, but that shallow end's actually a large area, right?
Yeah, it still needs to be widened out.
The reason I brought this up is that people have given me feedback, that the community's giving me feedback that, again, we do things, and we do things that we, you know, we're doing things at real time, and people are like, why didn't we expand this one and get
bigger? Because it's $400,000 yeah, versus $225,000.
Okay.
Yeah,
but to do this repair now is going to be, what, 50 grand?
I can, no, it's no, 10,000.
Oh, $10,000.
I can ask them to give us a price to expand the pool at this point. If you want to take it to the board.
To the board.
Yeah, and we can find
a special meeting, right?
We can find an alternative site for this.
Would we get any lanes out of it? Is there lane issues in our pool lanes right now?
I don't think you can make it shorter, but you can make it wider.
No, I
well,
I think length, lengthwise,
50 yards, or 50
25.
25, but I think that pool is longer, isn't it? It's a weird length, right, Brian?
Yeah, I can have them check into it.
I'm just wondering if right now, maybe there's a length that we need, like the competitive pool means that 25 meter, 25 yards.
Yeah, 25 yards.
I'm just wondering like if right now if you're scooping that out and we can actually get you know certified at a certain size. I don't know.
Yeah, it actually just needs to be widened.
Okay.
Yes.
But he's asking to invite true competitive competition.
Yeah, six lanes. You can run each here. You can
because
run each
here.
That would solve a lot of the issues.
Length is a factor.
Yeah.
Length is a factor. So we have. It's not just widening. We need to know, is this a competition length? Does it need to be shortened to be a competition?
It probably needs to be lengthened a little bit, but I'd have to measure it.
It's either way. The length is weird. I couldn't tell
you almost
which
has
way.
To square it up versus
right.
this kidney shape.
But yeah, that's
going,
what they would do.
Going wide would give them more lanes.
Has there been any concrete put back in at all at this point?
No.
So
we're at the rough
stage.
All the,
they were at rough stage and put all the plumbing in. So, worst case, I don't know if we could do this. You cut the plumbing there and you cut the plumbing and pull it out.
Correct.
Pull it over and fix whatever you're fixing and make them re-plumb it. I think it's worth looking into at this point. I would hate to get 6 months down the road, we're all done. And say, you know, we're only cost another 10. I mean, we're so far into this thing, it's upside down.
We can get a prize.
Yeah, I'll talk to Mark.
Oh.
I think he's got a rough idea in his head.
Just to fix the hole, it's
10
grand.
Right, right.
No, to expand the pool's probably, he's thinking somewhere in the 200.
Yeah, Mark said around 200. They
we
could
can't
do
200. No. We don't have to.
Well, you do in the community center fund, but you deplete it.
Yeah.
No. Plus, it's going to be increased operating costs.
Yeah,
well,
it's a
I'm
bigger
trying
hole.
To figure out how much wider it would be.
There's only three lanes there right now, and you
so
need
you
six minimum.
You only have to double the width.
Part of it's already there in the deep end. It's the shallow end that you'd have to bring over.
So you got a quarter, 25% of the pool needs to be widened by another 10, 12 feet.
Square out. Yeah.
Yeah, square up that end.
Why don't you get some quick figures?
Yeah.
And then I will, what I'll do is take those figures, I will, you know.
Maybe if we run them, Chris, if you agree, if we get the information, we would
yeah,
get Mike back and say, It's almost doable, it's not doable, forget it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I would
go. And then we take it or not take it. Yeah, just
see if we need to make a decision.
We're at that point, we're so close.
But we want it for competition purpose, to make it a competition.
To make red. Six lanes.
Mm-hmm. I just don't want to give them three extra practice lanes. If we're going to do that, it's going to be
done. Yeah, all right, so it's engineered, right? So we all have a certain.
Yeah, no, Mike, six is the lanes they need to have home needs. Anything bigger than that is just frosting on the cake. So if you see a pool that's 7, 8, 9, 10,
we don't need any of that.
That's frosting. Minimum
I mean, just to get it to competition length,
is
competition
width.
That might pacify the duty for a bit.
Speaking with the contractor, we're not looking to make a piano out of this thing. No. We just take it, scrape it out, and then refix everything else.
Yeah, Mark and I have talked about it already.
All right. If you tell him 200 isn't going to fly, but if he wants some extra money while he's here.
Well, that was out of his, that wasn't the estimator. That was out of his head. He said 200.
So. Get into his head. just to do the wiping with three lanes on that one end, that's another thing. I don't see.
Plus, you have some work in the deep end, too. That pool is irregular.
It's a weird shape.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that.
So is
that. Get us a number so at least we can have said we discussed it.
Yeah.
We looked into it. We came to a decision of some sort.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's been making good progress. I've been watching the pictures you sent out, and I appreciate that. I think that it's right on. We're on the right track right now.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
It is cool.
If the board decided to go in that direction and it delays the project, we can find an alternative area for swim team to practice.
I don't see how it's going to delay that.
Well, it depends on weather. We're getting close to winter time, so. And your next board, you have one board meeting in November, and then it happens.
Well, we can, as a special meeting, we can expedite
that's
a decision.
That's right.
If we
would have a special meeting. Okay.
Yeah. So we can move through real quick without making a decision on that.
Yeah.
But we need to meet with Dean.
But then they have.
I got to talk to Dean.
They have to draw plans and go back to the county and the health department again, too, for approvals. So it's not just, go ahead and put a shovel on the ground. We'll get it done in a day.
It'll be 20 years probably, so that makes sense.
But it's a little bit, almost.
Right, but we should be able to expedite it through because the plan, we already have a permit, the plan's already there, don't need to do the full due diligence. It's just, we'll add a little bit more.
I'm not the county.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to the update on the front entrance improvement.
Okay, front entrance. The bids are due on Friday. I've had three contractors walk through it, including one today. I have a bid in today. I can't open it till 2 p.m. on Friday. I've got hopefully two more bids coming. And are we going to award contract right away, or does it have to go back to the board? Because...
Well, it would need to go back to the board regardless, but we need to know what it is. I thought we were going to break this into a couple of components.
Yeah, it's repairing the stucco, which is in bad shape, and then repainting.
Correct. That's
phase
important.
One. Yep. That's what we're bidding out right now.
Oh, that's what's out now. Okay. All right. And the other phase is the landscape and lighting phase. Do you have a time frame when you think you'd be able to go out to bid for that portion?
Depends on the weather and how they progress with what's here.
Well, no, I meant just putting together the package to send out to the contractor.
As far as the landscaping goes, that's pretty much done. Lighting, the sky's the limit on the lighting. And that just
I know they the firm that provided us a general concept, local firm.
I think their lighting was like 45,000.
Yeah, I know. They got that lot belt versus so if you maybe approach them back and say, well, what can we really do? or do you have any other suggestions?
Might be better to just talk to lighting guys.
Well, okay, talk to lighting guys.
We want to know what we're doing up there.
So it's going to be a one-time thing, and it's got to last another 20 years.
Right.
Which probably...
And we do have some bids on lighting projects previously, so we do have some ideas of the cost.
Okay, well, in order to keep the project going, I know what if we can get out and bid on that stuff and get it.
That fiber optic's pretty amazing on the lighting, and I can distribute it, low voltage and low power, you know, but it costs a few bucks to run that 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
We're using a lot right now in some of the buildings I'm working on, but multicolor, and it's pretty powerful. Probably 25 grand could do 10,000 each side of it. It's tight. Mm-hmm. 40 grand's a lot of money.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you've got spot lights to replace, too.
All right, well, we're moving forward.
Yes, we are.
Do we have any future agenda items?
Are we all set for the holiday decorations and all that? Are we replenishing any of that? And are we doing that this year in the front entrance?
We could definitely do the garland, but you might not have lighting this year.
Oh, okay.
They might be in the middle of a painting project.
We bought a whole bunch of we replenished our holiday decorations about 4 years ago, maybe. I don't know.
This is for up on the street end.
Wreaths and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, there are wreaths and
those. Well, we could probably, you can't hang them up to paint.
Yeah, all right, got it.
How about if we just do a real simplistic, some kind of a sign of happy holidays or something like that?
We'll do something. We'll figure something out.
Got
to leave it to my guys. You know.
No. Hey, quiet at you.
It was plural.
A little something just to acknowledge that it's the holiday season. You know, Martin Ardust, we're upgrading the front or something. I don't know. The Santa will be back next year. Okay, with that, we're going to adjourn at 4:32.